aspect of query letter writing and, honing that ability, because that's a totally different monster from fiction writing. Is you still need to, even if you write a wonderful 300-page book that's amazing, you still have to get an agent to read page one.
Welcome to Angle on Writing, a podcast about writing, publishing, and book marketing. Welcome, writers. I'm here today with a very fun novelist and short story writer. Welcome, Trey Dowell.
Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate you having me.
And I got that right, huh?
You did. You did. You'd be surprised how many people say do well. And I'm like, ooh, that just sounds like a joke.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you do well. And I read in your bio that you, even before you put any words to the page, you started practicing your fiction writing by lying. Is that true?
Yeah, at a very early age, I was a big believer in basic verbal storytelling, which my parents referred to as lying. I loved telling stories. I guess that's the gig, right? All of us writers, at some point or another, we just fall in love with storytelling, and it can be in on TV, in movies, writing, just telling stories amongst your friends. You know, eventually that story bites and it never lets go. And that's, I consider myself lucky to have enjoyed it and been able to do it professionally for a long time.
Well, how did you, as they say, break in and find success?
Well, it's, I like to think it's an interesting story, and hopefully I won't drone on too long and be boring, but, a long, long time ago, and like I said, I've always loved storytelling, and I always thought, you know what I should do? I should write a book one day, and then did nothing about it for 20 years. But eventually, you finally sit down at a keyboard and you start writing. And I started with short stories and just did it. You know, I was in business, I was a sales rep, and at night, I would sometimes get an idea in my head and would spend a few days working on it and writing it out. And like everybody who starts out, generally speaking, you only show it to people who have the same last name as you. And they tell you you're brilliant, even though you're probably not. And I certainly wasn't. But over time, you start to branch out a little bit, you show it to more people, you as long as you're actually, in addition to writing, reading a lot, you figure out the craft a little bit. And I did that. And I got a couple of short stories published. And a girlfriend at the time said, you know what you should do? You should go to a writer's conference. And I had never heard of writing conferences. I didn't know what they were. To me, writing was a very solitary pursuit that I would do at my computer by myself and never really showed anything to anyone until it was a finished product. And so I thought about it. I thought, that might be kind of fun. And so I started looking around at different conferences, and I saw one conference. The guest speakers were Ray Bradbury and Clive Cussler. Well, I have to go to that. That was when I discovered the Santa Barbara Writers Conference. And so I went. And I remember very, very strongly sitting in the middle of the, rows and rows of chairs at the opening discussion and thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm such a poser. I'm here with all these real writers and I'm a nobody and I don't know what I'm doing. And I think that that's a really important feeling that a lot of people have, and it's okay to feel that way. Now I realize that far more than I did at the time. And so very timidly, I went to one of the class sessions and I showed the first chapter of a book that I had started to a guy named Matt Palomari, who teaches at Santa Barbara Writers Conference to this day. And I still remember sitting across from him when he agreed to meet with me between sessions, and he pulled his glasses down to the tip of his nose and he looked at me and he said, dude, you're a good writer. And that really just opened me up that really made me believe in myself and allowed me to feel like I had, that I wasn't just wasting my time, that I could actually tell a story and do it effectively. And so I worked for that book on a year for a year. And then I came back the next year to the conference and met with an agent for the very first time ever and crashed and burned horribly. She did not like the chapter. She didn't understand my writing. And it was literally one of the worst days of my life. And I remember thinking, well, the dream's dead. You know, nothing good's going to come of this. And then while I was at the depths of my despair, my father called me. And I was sitting in the agent panel at Santa Barbara Writers Conference. And my father called me and I stepped out and he said, "Hey, I just want to let you know, I just finished reading your book and it's amazing. You're a really good writer." And then I learned a super important lesson, and that is not every agent's opinion matters. Because about 2 months later, I met with another agent. She wanted to see the whole book. She signed me. And then a year later, Simon and Schuster bought the novel. So, you know, good things happen, but it all begins with you sitting at your computer, telling a story and being passionate about it, and then taking the chance to show your baby, to show your writing to people who can help you with it, who can give you guidance, who can make you even better. And that's how I got started.
Wow. Well, I know the usual story that I hear is people sending out queries to hundreds of agents and only hearing from a few here and there. So how many agents did you actually have to go through before you found the one?
Well, there was the just god-awful meeting at Santa Barbara with the first one, where I just felt like I was crushed. And then I sent out two queries when I got home from the conference. Both of those got re- Oh, actually, one was a rejection, and one I'm still waiting to hear. 15 years later. And then the fourth one said yes. So, I mean, I feel like, and that really kind of also got me started on the aspect of query letter writing and, you know, honing that ability, because that's a totally different monster from fiction writing. Is you still need to, even if you write a wonderful 300-page book that's amazing, you still have to get an agent to read page one. And that is where you use a query letter. And that's, you know, I was successful with my first one. And then with all of my friends in the industry, I started asking them, "Hey, can I see your query letter? Can I see yours? Can I see yours?" So I got to see query letters that had worked, that had gotten agents to read their book. And over time, I realized that that's kind of an art form in and of itself. And I was interested in teaching that. And so that's one of the things I teach at the conference each year.
Yeah, and like I said, I've sent tons of queries myself, and I know a lot of other people who have sent out 100 at least query letters with very respond. So you must be really good at queries.
Well, we'll see. I've got some skill, but you know, it all revolves around how, you know, what the market is looking for at the time, what an agent is looking for at the time. And sometimes they're just not in the market for what you're pitching. And it doesn't matter how great it is, you're going to get a pass, you're going to get a rejection. So just like writing a book, just like writing a short story, writing a query letter, you can't take it personally if they don't like it because it's just not their thing. And then eventually, if you believe in what you're doing and you've honed it to the best it can possibly be, you will find eyes for it.
Yeah, I one of the things about agents is they work with pretty much bigger publishers. There's some writers who can, find their way into smaller publishing or hybrid publishing and that kind of thing. But a lot of times the agents are going to be out there looking for the bigger publishers so that they can get, more of a bigger bang for their buck as well.
Right. Yeah,
So
absolutely.
you've looked at other people's queries and you've worked with, beginners and stuff on their queries. What are some of the mistakes that you see that people make?
I would say that some of the biggest mistakes revolve around not doing research, not studying, because a lot of people, computers have made things very easy. And it's super simple to just do a mail merge and do 100 different query letters to 100 different agents and send them out. And then you just see it's like casting, 100 different lures into the water and hoping that you get a bite. Except, in a lot of cases, the analogy is almost like you're just casting lures into a field of grass. You're not going to get any bites if you don't figure out where what you're doing. And people don't do research on the agents that they're pitching. And if you take that time, look up an agent, see what books they're actively seeking, and you can find that information on either the agency's website or the agent's Twitter feed, the agent's Instagram. You can get a pretty good idea of what people are actually looking for. Target agents that are really in the market for what you have to offer. That's one of the biggest problems that people don't do. They just mass email a bunch of agents. And then once you've sent out, let's say, 100 queries, there's nobody left for you to query if you don't get any responses. What I like to do is I like to counsel people to send out small batches of query letters. Send out five to five targeted agents that you really know that they're in the market for your stuff. And then, yes, you might get a rejection. Somebody might say, "Hey, I dug this. Let me see, a couple of chapters." But you'll get an idea if nobody responds to your first five. Maybe you need to adapt the query a little bit before you send it out to the next five. And maybe you need to make some changes. A lack of response shows you that maybe you're not throwing the lure out the right way. And so that's typically the biggest mistake that I see. People do not take care in picking and doing the marketing background necessary to figure out where they can get the most bang for their buck when they send out the query.
So, do you think social media is a good place to find out about the agent, or do you go to
Absolutely.
the literary marketplace, or what do you think's the best?
I think the best is there's a website called Publishers Marketplace, and it's not free. You have to pay for a subscription, but you can pay 1 month's worth when you're ready to query a novel. It's like $20, $25. And then you can actually look up who are the best 20 top-selling agents in children's fiction or in crime thriller. And then you can pick some names off of that list and then see, do the research, look them up on Twitter, look them, or X, pardon me, look them up online, look at their agencies and see if they're open for queries. Because a lot of people, "Oh, I want Stephen King's agent." And then they find out who that is and they send a query. Never mind doing the research to find out that he's not taking new clients. So when you send it to him, it's burnt, it's a rejection right away. They're not even going to look at it. So do that work. And yeah, social media is a great way to do it, but the internet and Publishers Marketplace are also great tools to use fully before you start sending out queries.
And also, have you heard of anybody who's run into an agent that turns out to be a fraud?
I know that that's out there. I haven't had personal experience with it, but I know that there are some agents out there. And that's, again, Publishers Marketplace will tell you who's actually selling novels in the genre that you're writing them. If you just look up names on a website of literary agents, you have no idea how successful they are, how long they've been in business, if they're selling anything. So yeah, the like anything on the internet, the chance of being ripped off is there, and you definitely don't want to do that. So that's why research is so important. Pardon me, but that's why taking your time and not just, diving in with no plan, why that's not a good idea.
Well, I know the hardest part I had when I was working on a query letter, it's always that synopsis is like the hardest thing, because it's like here you have a 300-page novel and you have to put it into like five sentences.
Yeah, I mean, that's the art, right? That's the difficulty. It's taking a 300-page book and then kind of you're not, and a synopsis is different from a query, but you know, a synopsis is its own devilish beast. And that's, you know, distilling a novel plot point by plot point down to like, you know, one or two pages. But it's the query letter that people want to see first, usually. And that's, yeah, you've got about 250 words to really suck somebody in and get them to say, well, wow, I need to see what this writer's work is about. I mean, this sounds really compelling. And then you're just getting them to flip the page, you know, getting them to open up that Word doc. And then from then on, it's your writing that does the selling. It's you. But sometimes that doesn't matter if you can't get that agent's interest through a query letter. And don't get me wrong, querying and agents and the traditional publishing, that's only part of the puzzle. You don't have to do that. You know, people self-publish and they're incredibly successful doing it. But if you want to go the route of going to a big publisher, you've got to have an agent. That's the way it's done. Now, unless you self-publish and sell 500,000 copies of something, in which case the agents and the publishers will find you.
Yes, they will. I'm sure they will. The other hard part of a query letter that I know people have many struggles with is the part where they have to say something about themselves. And what if, if somebody doesn't have hardly anything published or they're starting from ground zero, but yet they have a piece they think is really good. What can they say about themselves to get an interest?
Well, and here's and this is a great topic, and I'm glad you brought it up because I know a lot of writers that and that have been in my workshop. I know a lot of writers who've I've talked about independently with it, and they say those same things. It's a very common thing. But here's what you need to keep in mind. The part about you as a writer and who you are and what you've done is I always to my class, I always say that goes after the hook, after you talk about your book. Because, and I've talked to many agents and they've confirmed this for me. They want undiscovered talent. They want diamonds in the rough that no one else has heard of. That's how they get in on the kind of the ground floor of somebody who's extremely talented. You want to find somebody who hasn't published anything. Because that means they're an unknown quantity, somebody that can wow the marketplace. So there is nothing wrong with not having a single credit to your name, not having a single thing published. You're a debut author, and agents love debut authors because they can get in on the ground floor of something. And you don't need to worry about it because it's different with nonfiction. With nonfiction, they want people that have 200,000 followers, that they want people that are authorities in the subjects that they're talking about. They want built-in audiences for things. But for fiction, man, they just want somebody who can tell a great story. One of my favorite examples is a friend of mine that was she was in my writing, she's in my writing group, and her name is Shelby Van Pelt. Do you recognize that name? She's the one who wrote Remarkably Bright Creatures,
Oh.
which the movie comes out on Netflix next month, I think on Mother's Day weekend. And I actually helped her with her query letter. And she's just a suburban housewife, mom, you know, had no publishing credits, I don't believe. And she had the best-selling fiction book of 2022 and 2023, I think. She killed it. And she didn't have any credits. People loved her writing. The agent loved her writing, loved the craft that she brought to the table, and they signed her, and she became a massive, massive, like life-altering hit with it. So don't sweat being a newbie when it comes to querying, because quite frankly, nobody cares. They care about how you write and what you write. And as long as you pitch that first, well, after they start reading your stuff, then they'll come back and wonder who you are. But it's not going to change how they feel about your writing.
Definitely that. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, that was a good book. I read that, and yes,
Oh, it's
it's
amazing. It's
yeah.
incredible. I cried at the end of that book, and it takes a lot to make me cry.
So up until now, we have kind of pretty much been talking about novels. But what if it's just a short story to a say a literary magazine or something like that? Does that require a query?
Not usually. That is more a case of you submit, and because a short story is in the 1,000 to 3 or 4,000 word category, I mean, why blow 500 words on a query? Just start reading the story. And the editors of those things know pretty quickly as they start reading whether or not they're dealing with an author who's talented and knows what they're doing, a very good storyteller. So for short stories, you don't really need queries. It's more about, and Max Talley actually does a workshop on short stories and how to sell them and where to go with them, and he knows it inside and out. But research is really important there too, because just like querying, you need to know who you're sending to, and to increase your chances of an acceptance, you need to go to a literary magazine's website, read the stuff that they publish, know what you're getting into before you send it, because the worst feeling in the world is getting that email back. This is not for us. The dismissive, sorry, not interested. And a lot of times you can avoid those if you just read what they publish before you send it. You know right away, does my writing kind of jive with what I see on their website?
So you write both. You write short stories and you write novels. Do you prefer one over the other?
That's a great question. I probably prefer short stories because they are less time, and I'm a stay-at-home dad with a 7-year-old, and he keeps me on my toes. And it is a lot easier for me mentally to focus on a story that takes me 4 or 5 days to tell than it does a story that takes me a year and a half to tell. And there's the dopamine hit of when you finish a short story and you feel amazing. And it's great to get that feeling, in a week as compared to taking a huge chunk of your life to write the novel. I will tell you, however, that there is nothing in life, professionally, that I have found more satisfying than writing the end at the end of a 100,000-page novel. It's a high unlike anything else I have encountered in writing. And I mean, I've done some stuff. I've won awards. I've won contests with short stories. Nothing beats the feeling of finishing a novel. So it is truly near and dear to my heart. But if you ask me what I like more, it's probably because of that short time frame. I come back to short stories. They're just easier for me to do.
And you are going to be teaching again this year at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference. And mo a lot of us here who are involved in the conference are in Santa Barbara or in the kind of local vicinity, LA, Southern California. And you are way in the middle of the country. So you have to like travel and stay and all of that good stuff. And you actually you did that when you first attended the conference too, as well. Is that correct?
Yes, I hail from the dead middle of the country, St. Louis, Missouri. When I was telling the story about initially finding out about Santa Barbara, when that ex-girlfriend said, you should look at going to a real writers conference, not one that lasts a day, because there are writers conferences everywhere. There's some in everyone's, in any major city near someone's hometown, there's going to be a writers conference at some point. It might be a day, it might be a seminar, it might be 2 or 3, it might be a weekend. But the Santa Barbara Conference was a full week, and where you can really inundate yourself with writing culture. And that was super important to me. I wanted to be in a place where I could be around other writers and really get into it. Now, when I went that first time, I didn't really know what to expect, but My advice to people who don't live in the Santa Barbara area, it all comes down to, I guess, the same thing that almost everything in life comes down to, and that's fear. Are you willing to go outside your comfort zone? Are you willing to take a bigger risk? Because traveling 1500 miles, 2000 miles for a writing conference is a bigger risk. It's a bigger risk financially. It's a bigger risk with time because you're making a bigger time commitment because there's travel involved. But you don't achieve anything in life without risk. And the Santa Barbara Writers Conference in particular, I feel, is one of the best in the nation, and I've been to several now. But nothing makes me feel closer to a group of writers like Santa Barbara does. And because you are working in these seminars with read and critique, and you're meeting people just like you who have the same fears as you do, they have the same sense of elation you do when things go well, you get to share that. And then all of a sudden, instead of just being writing being a solitary pursuit, all of a sudden, you've got your tribe. You've got people that you know that you will form relationships with that will far outlive the conference. You can feel like part of something. And I got to tell you, I'd go a hell of a lot farther than St. Louis to Santa Barbara for that. I'd go to Europe if I could find that. But you just have to be willing to take that risk. If you can afford it, both in terms of the cost and the time, don't be afraid to go anywhere where you can really feel like you're a part of something, like your writing connects you to something.
That is great wisdom for sure.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah,
Can you tell that to
that.
my wife? I don't think she thinks I'm wise.
Well, I'm sure your son does.
Well, yes, to him, I'm both the wisest and the strongest man on earth, which of course is true.
Well, do you have any closing words of wisdom for our listeners, watchers?
Well, my strongest piece of advice is always, you want to be a writer, do two things. Sit your butt in a chair and write, and sit your butt in the chair and read. If you do those two things, I guarantee you will continue to get better. Ray Bradbury once said, if just write a short story a week, one short story every week for 1 year, and by the time that year ends, you'll be a hell of a lot better writer than you were when it started. And I believe that. But that would be my first and foremost advice for anybody listening that wants to write and tell stories. And my second bit of advice would be go to a conference. Don't let writing be a solitary pursuit. Have it be something where you feel connected to other writers, and it will increase your enjoyment of storytelling tenfold.
Oh, I definitely agree. And I do recommend that book, The Incredibly Bright Creatures.
Remarkably Bright
What?
Creatures. Yep.
Yeah, there you go. I
Shelby would
think I
be
was thinking of
happy.
another book. And how can people find you and find your books?
Amazon, just look up Trade Owl and there's quite a few things out there. I have a website that's badly in need of a refurb, and that's just tradeowl.com. But I'll be, and of course, I will be in Santa Barbara for the conference for 7 days. And ready to meet new people and read queries and do read and critique on short stories and on novels and ready to mix it up, man. So if you want to get better, come see me.
Great. Well, I will see you there,
I look forward
and
to it.
I will link to your website in the show notes, and I thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Lisa. It was great seeing you and great being here. And I look forward to seeing you in a couple of months.